This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 now, past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, December 10th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in here at the World Headquarters on State Street in downtown Madison. Overcast skies. Temperature is going to take a plunge throughout the week. Maybe some light precipitation coming in on or about Thursday and some more over the weekend. Be listening to Civic Media as weather may change throughout the week. Big show today coming up at the bottom of the hour. Our friend, Civic Media's own Luke Mathers, for another edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke. In hour two, our big, big giveaway, Civic Media's Growing Up Gift List Text to Win Contest. Had a great participation yesterday. We appreciate it. Your chance to win in this, by the way, the attorney Zommers are outside again. It is a statewide contest.
It sure is.
We have to say that or I'll get taken away. And in hour number two now, this will be fantastic. Somebody's either going to win a clean, crisp $100 bill or an overnight getaway at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Somebody's going to win it. It might as well be you. Be listening in hour two. Download the Civic Media app. We'll tell you the word to download in hour two, or not download, to text. Download the app, and then you text the word on the app. And if you don't win next hour, everybody gets entered in to win one of 8 wonderful, fabulous grand prizes, including a robot vacuum. That'll be fantastic. A humidifier, espresso machine, snowblower, or a set of luggage. We'll tell you more about that in hour number two. Also in hour two, what's worse? Your chance to weigh in on the timely topics of the day. But right now, at 8 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, I want to cover some breaking news for you at this hour. According to the Associated Press's Scott Bauer, here in Madison, Wisconsin prosecutors filed 10 additional felony charges today against 2 attorneys and an aide to President-elect Donald Trump, who advised Trump in 2020 as part of a plan to submit paperwork falsely claiming that the Republican had won the battleground state that year. Jim Troupas, who is Trump's attorney in Wisconsin, Kenneth Chesbro, an attorney who advised the campaign, and Mike Roman, Trump's director of Election Day operations in 2020, all initially faced a single felony forgery charge in Wisconsin. Those charges were filed in June. But today, just about an hour ago, 2 days before they're scheduled for their initial court appearances, the Wisconsin Department of Justice, led by Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, filed 10 additional felony charges against each of them. The charges are for using forgery in an attempt to defraud each of the 10 Republican electors who cast their ballots for Trump that year. Each of the 10 felonies charges they face carries the same maximum penalty of 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. Here to sort this all out, make it make sense to us, as Judge Weissman once said to me, put it down there where the chickens can get at it, our friend, our ongoing contributor, a 2-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney, and a successful author, our friend Matt Flynn, so kind to join us on late notice via telephone from Milwaukee. Matt, thanks for being here.
Good to be with you, Todd. You got a great show, and I'm always delighted to be part of it.
Well, we appreciate it. We'll talk to folks a little bit later. You're going to be a big part of it on Thursday. More details on that in a minute. But, Matt, I know this is something, this breaking news today is something that you've talked on this network for some time. of frustration, like myself, for Attorney General Josh Call, a Democrat, in not filing additional charges. And now here today, 10 additional felony charges from Attorney General Josh Call on these fake electors from 2020. Break this down for us, Matt. In layman's terms, what does this mean?
Okay, yeah, and I think it's important to break it down. Here's the deal. Early on, attorneys general in other states, for instance, Michigan, Georgia, Arizona, indicted the fake electors. The fake electors scheme started in Wisconsin. It started here. They call it the Green Bay Sweep, remember?
Yep.
That's Green Bay Packers reference. And these other attorneys general charged the fake electors. In this state, in Wisconsin, they were not charged. And there was a lot of talk on the various shows by people calling in, or when are we going to charge it? In June, the Justice Department charged three of them with a single felony forgery count and let all the fake electors off the hook. No fake elector in this state has been charged, not in June and not today, none. And you know something? Ron Johnson wasn't charged. He was part of the scheme to begin with. He roamed around with Michigan state electors as well as Wisconsin in his pocket. And he had his chief of staff call Pence's chief of staff and tell him, use these to not certify Biden and we'll take the presidency. He's never been charged. None of our fake electors have been charged.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people who thought back in June that it was too little too late then. Back in June, there had already been momentum for Trump to be the nominee. Things were all screwed up in the Democratic Party. And any air that was in the balloon had been let out when every other attorney general looked at it, made their charges earlier. So I think what Josh will have to do, Josh's a good guy. I like Josh, friend mm-hmm. of mine, good man. But he's going to have to explain why isn't this too little too late. In other words, there's a gubernatorial nomination coming up in 2026, and there's a Senate nomination coming up in 2028. And what does this accomplish? I think it's true. I think there's a good faith basis for these charges. But why are no fake electors being charged? Why is Ron Johnson not being charged? And I do not think it's too little too late in the sense that the charges are good. They're supported by the facts and the law. And so, okay, let's do them. But the challenge for Josh is going to be how to dissuade people from thinking this is just something at the tail end when it's meaningless. If these charges have been brought a year and a half ago, if the fake electors had been charged, if Ron Johnson had been charged, it would have had an impact on Wisconsin's election mm-hmm. on November 5th.
Right.
I don't know if it would have changed it, but Kamala Harris only lost by 30,000 or so votes. Rebecca Cook lost by a whisker in the Van Orden seat in western Wisconsin. So what this is three people already charged, none of them fake electors, are getting 10 more charges. Okay. And Chesbro, one of them, has already pleaded guilty.
Right.
Pleaded guilty in Georgia. Well, he was trying to wiggle out of it, mm-hmm. but he pleaded guilty in Georgia. And the other two, the fake electors were let off because they said to the Justice Department, we didn't know what we were doing. nobody ever does chickens, boss. Nobody ever does chickens, boss. Oh, okay, you didn't know what you were doing. Listen, there was a guy in Great Britain in the 19th century, came from Pakistan, beheaded his wife because she looked at another man, and they were about to hang him, and he goes, hey, in Pakistan, I can do this. I didn't know what I was doing. And they said, too bad. All right, too bad. And so what is this? So that's putting it down where the chickens can get at it.
Yeah, I think that's great, Matt. And just keep me honest here, just in case people have forgotten, because I think a lot of people have said, I try to put politics in the past here for a few weeks. But keep me honest. We don't directly elect a president of the United States. It's the Electoral College system. And so in 2020, there were legit electors who voted for the Electoral College, who, you know, sent those to Washington, D.C. in 2020. But Republicans decided under then a chairman of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Andrew Hitt, decided to have an alternative set or fake electors. They met in the state capitol. There is video evidence of it. They knowingly voted for Trump. And then those, as you say, were taken via political mule by Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson to Washington, D.C. And it was finally, you know, Mike Pence, I'll use a Matt Flynn phrase, finally Mike Pence's staffer stood up on his hind legs and said, "That's a bridge too far even for us," right?
They were afraid. Right. They weren't stupid. Look, Reverend Voss should have been a grand jury, should have been convened, and Reverend Voss should have been questioned. Why did he put this conference room aside for these guys when they lost the election? Fitzgerald, who's now a congressman out in the Waukesha County area, was one of the guys, I think, who helped set up this conference room.
Correct.
Ron Johnson, what does he do with Michigan's state electors in his pocket, for God's sake? And so, yeah, there's a lot of guys. And Schimmel, the present guy, was not a fake elector, but his name is mentioned as somehow being involved in this stuff. And everybody is walking around like altar boys in the state, the Republican Party, going, "Oh, well, our fake electors didn't know squat."
Right.
Well, why the hell were they fake electors?
Right.
You know, what are they doing in politics? This is all BS.
Right.
And this is too little too late in the public mind. I personally don't think it's too little too late because these are valid charges. But this had no consequence. It had absolutely no consequence whatsoever politically.
So to bring it back to the story today, according to Scott Bauer, the Associated Press, the Wisconsin complaint today details how Troopers Chesbro and Roman created a document that, as Matt said, falsely said that Trump had won Wisconsin 10 electoral votes and then attempted to deliver that to then Vice President Mike Pence. In the amended complaint filed today, prosecutors said the majority of the 10 electors told investigators that they needed to sign the elector certificate indicating that Trump had won, only to preserve its legal options if a court changed the outcome of the election in Wisconsin. A majority of the electors told investigators that they did not believe that the signatures on the elector certificate would be submitted to Congress without a court ruling, according to the complaint. Again, Matt, not to be too blunt, but if you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. I mean, Andrew Hitt, his main focus in law, he's a lawyer, for God's sake, a degree from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, a prestigious law school. His focus is electoral law. How could they not know what was going on?
Well, look, it's all BS. And Andrew Hitt, as I recall, was one of your compadres from Richland Center, wasn't he?
Well, that's
and,
a lot. Yes,
you know
we come from the same pasture, but a different herd of cows. Put it that way.
All right. Look, let me tell you, would guys get up and they tell the prosecutor, "No, I didn't intend that." They say, "Great, tell it to the jury."
Right. Stay with us, Matt. Your phone calls from Matt Flynn, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
On this side of the law, on that side of the law, who is right, who is wrong, who is for and who's against the law?
Welcome back to Tom Ball and Matt Flynn Direct at 21 past the hour of 12 noon, Tuesday, December 10th, 2024. Zommer's on the board. When you hear Johnny Cash, you know that Matt Flynn is not far behind. He is a two-time chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, an attorney and a great author as well. Going to get back to the subject at hand in a moment, Matt. But I appreciate you, my friend. I'm going to be traveling on Thursday out to the West Coast to Seattle. We're going to do our show with Trygve Olsen out there on Friday from a Packer establishment. The Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks in a game you can hear on many stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're also going to do a show. We'll be also talking about Bremerton Naval Shipyard out there, where my youngest godson, Jason, works out there as a Navy vet, Matt. I think that's pretty cool. And you have been so kind as to help us out, and you're going to be filling in. You're going to be in the guest host chair. People have asked me, Matt, all season. They said, what we really want for Christmas is an hour of Matt Flynn. I say, let's give him one better. 2 hours of Matt Flynn on Thursday, and I appreciate it so very much.
It's my pleasure. Let me tell you something. Your show is a gem. And Civic Media really is a gem. When you think of the landscape of radio and all the right-wing stuff, all of these other stations, you know, they made fun of Nancy Pelosi's husband when he was hit on the head with a hammer. They made fun of Tim Walz's son, who's a child with autism. And I'm tired of that. People are very tired of cruelty. Civic Media is a real breath of fresh air. Civic Media stands up to the Trump cult. It's very, very important. Very, very important. And so I am delighted to guest host your show, and I'll be broadcasting out of Racine.
Yes.
Out of Racine, about 20-some-odd miles south of Milwaukee, and a lot of friends in Racine. And so I think it's going to be a great show on Thursday, and thanks for plugging me in.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Again, Matt Flynn, the guest host chair, all 2 hours on Thursday's show. Right now, talking about this Associated Press story by Scott Bauer. Trump lawyers and an aide hit with 10 additional felony charges in Wisconsin over the 2020 fake electors. To Matt Flynn's point, unfortunately, none of the actual fake electors have been hit with additional charges. Cindy, listening from Appleton on the phone line, 855-752-4842. Cindy in Appleton, thanks for calling in. What do you got for Matt?
Well, thanks for having us back for a couple hours, Matt. Appreciate it. And I would just like to say that the party of law and order, supposed party of law and order, I guess the law and order only applies to the Democrat Party and the Democrats and does not, I mean, it exempts basically the Republicans and the Republican Party. I still have yet to figure out how that one works.
Thank you, Cindy. Matt?
Yeah, thanks. Great to hear from you, Cindy. You hit the nail on the head, as usual, when you call in. And I'll just tell you this. A lot of what the Republican Party says is very different from what they do. And I'm going to make a very, very, tough statement. Donald Trump personally has three things that he has any regard for. One of them is sadism, one of them is treason, and one of them is fraud. And let me explain that, because it's very important. All of it is bad and illegal. Sadism, remember when they took infants and little kids away from their parents at the border, and the parents were crying and screaming. Some of them never saw their kids again. They never did. And these poor women, mostly some indigenous women with wet eyes and wet cheeks, they're shouting for their kids. Who the hell does that? I mean, who the hell does that? Russia's doing that in Ukraine right now. Who does that? But Trump did it. And then secondly, when it comes to treason, this is a guy who kept these documents in bathrooms, in dressing rooms, in Mar-a-Lago, with no security, so foreign intelligence could see him and deduce from them who was the traitor internally and then execute him. And we lost in the 12 months after Trump started doing this, after he was thrown out of office, we lost a disproportionate number of secret agents in Russia and in other countries that had access to that information. This clown gets up and he says, I'm for law and order. That is baloney. Why did Ron Johnson have the Michigan state electors? They were laundering the Michigan crime through Wisconsin. What are we? Are we stooges? Are we stooges when they tried to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer?
Right.
They were going to interrogate her in a Wisconsin cabin? We're stooges.
Right. Matt, Matt Flynn, a quick question here. We got about 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes left. We have Matt in Waukesha. Where to go? Matt in Germantown. Pardon me. Matt in Germantown, listening on WAUK, asking, will prosecuting these additional lawyers and aides today with further charges help deter people from breaking laws for Trump in his next term?
Hey, Matt, good to hear from you. I guess I'd say a couple of things. One is any charge that's legitimately based in fact and law does have a deterrent effect. So they should be brought. What the point I'm making is, why are no fake electors being charged just because they said they didn't know what they were doing? Some of them, one of them is the chairman of the Republican Party, and one of them was an office holder up in Brown County. I mean, if you don't know what the hell you're doing, why are you the chairman of the Republican Party, and why are you in office in Brough County?
And one of them still sits on the Wisconsin Election Commission.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so he's a very pious individual.
If that's not letting the fox in the hen house, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Well, the reason we have poison water in the state because they kept the guy on, the dentist from Wausau.
Right.
I mean, look, there's no semblance of law and order in the Republican Party, not in the cult's party, not in the cult of Trump.
Right, exactly. Tom in Jackson, listening on WGBD, GBW, pardon me, in Green Bay, says, hey, Todd, when is Matt coming back? Thank you so very much for asking. He'll be back on Thursday, guest hosting for me right here in this chair on this very show, guest hosting from Radio Park down in beautiful Racine. He'll be there all 2 hours. Matt, looking forward to it. About a minute left here. Give us a quick plug. I know you got some great stocking stuffers. Give folks a clue on that. 30 seconds.
Well, 5 books, China Code, everybody out there, available where books are sold. A novel of mine, China Code, about a math genius from Milwaukee, a math genius who proves the Riemann hypothesis. You don't have to know what that is. It's a very hard hypothesis. And he breaks China's code, and it's a comedy. It's a comedy about spies. It's a comedy about Wisconsin. It's a comedy about Milwaukee. Buy it, stocking stuffer.
That's
go
great.
On Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Get it.
Cannot wait to be listening on the plane on Thursday. We all know how fascism creeps in. How does it creep in, Matt?
On little cat's feet.
Very good.
It comes in on little cat's feet.
More with Matt Flynn on Thursday. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Stay tuned.
Talk to you later. Thank you, Todd.
Sounds good. Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers is next. Don't go anywhere on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Welcome back to the Todd Hoffall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, December 10th. Zommer is on the board. Todd joined by none other than Civic Media's very own Luke Mathers for another edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Luke, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. It's a little overcast here in Madison today, but all in all, you know, not bad at
There's
all.
There's nothing to complain when it's 50 degrees in December
right?
in Wisconsin. Like, I guess I can complain about one thing. I got a bunch more yard work done yesterday.
Did you? Now you had a window replaced in the garage yesterday.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It went well. It looks really good.
Really?
Yeah. Bang up job. So. Looking good, and it's a little weird right now because there was no window there before.
Oh.
It was boarded up, and so now when I walk into the garage, there's like natural light coming in. I'm like, what? Did I leave a light on? Nope, it's just the window's done, and it's there now.
Look at that, beautiful.
Yeah,
you can get through the winter, you can see what's going on in the garage.
Very excited that it,
happy days.
It's one of those home ownership is just trying to chip away at all those different little projects around the house. And when you get a surprise good weather day in early December, it's amazing that the installation schedule got a little expedited. We weren't anticipating until like January or February. They're like, hey, we've got the window. We're set to go.
Holiday surprise. It's a Christmas miracle at Luke Mathers house.
Sure.
The window is
a little bit of a stretch, but sure, we can go with that way. We can call it.
All right, lots to get to, Lukester. News, sports, dog stories, and more. Any thoughts? We appreciate Matt Flynn coming on in the first part of the show. The breaking news, according to AP's Scott Bauer, Trump lawyers and aide hit with 10 additional felony charges in Wisconsin over 2020 fake electors. But once again, the actual fake electors themselves not charged with anything here. Any thoughts on that?
No, it reads to me, and this breaking news. Haven't you informed me about 35 minutes ago that this was going on? I've been a little
busy man. You're a busy man.
Yeah, but so I was unaware this was happening. I read up on it quick from the Associated Press, and my read on it is: it seems like these 10 fraudulent electors are working with the prosecutors here in the state of Wisconsin to at least hold the lawyers responsible for the scheme accountable. And I will take some accountability over none. It should be set as precedent that this is an unacceptable attempt to thwart democracy here in the state of Wisconsin. And it didn't just happen here in Wisconsin, but I fear the Wisconsin connections to this whole scheme are pretty thick because, I mean, they called it the Green Bay Sweep, for God's sake.
Matt mentioned that. All this started in Wisconsin. Yes. All this fake electors started here.
The Kenneth Chesbrough and I believe Jim Tropis are both Wisconsin residents. They've at least spent some time in Wisconsin if they are not Wisconsinites themselves.
Like Eric Covey spent some time here. So, there you go.
And so the fact that this scheme, for lack of better terminology, originated here in the state of Wisconsin, it's good to see that there's some movement towards accountability. I hope this kind of sends out a I hope this sends out a message, Todd, that this shouldn't be tried again, and the lawyers that were responsible for it probably shouldn't be doing a whole lot of lawyering.
Probably not. That would be a good thing, I think. Definitely. So yeah, we'll continue to follow this, and I'm sure Maggie Dawn, who of course is an attorney herself, will probably be mentioning this as well and breaking it down further. So a story that we'll continue to follow here at
and those charges, Civic Media. I found out I didn't know that the sentencing was going to be on those two charges
tomorrow or 2 days.
Two days from now. Later this week. So I fear that, or I feel that it's timely.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these state charges.
Right. Yeah. 100%. Or I don't know where to go for sure from here because I know where I want to go, but I feel like this needs more time to flesh out. And I really want to get to these comments from Pat Murphy, but I'm gonna give you your shot at this really quick.
Let's hear
because it's
I never know what to expect on a Tuesday Tangents, folks.
So fascinating, and this dude Luigi Maggioni, the accused killer of the CEO of United Healthcare, did he do it?
Suspected. Not accused yet. Is he charged?
I thought he was charged. I don't know. Was he charged? According to Axios, charged with murder on Monday in connection with the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson in New York City.
Wow, justice sure moves fast when a rich person dies. What? Who said that?
All right, Luke. But I'm fascinated because it just seemed... All right, very quickly... This dude, he graduated as a valedictorian from a prep school. He has a bachelor's and master's degree in engineering. He comes from a wealthy family on the East Coast. And he apparently had an accident in Hawaii, a surfing accident a year and a half ago, had back surgery, had bolts put in his – or fused in his back. And then according to reported social media posts – friends reached out over the last weeks or months and said, dude, are you okay? Nobody's heard from you. And now reports are that his mom, according to the New York Post, that his mom had reported him missing. And it just, he was caught yesterday at a McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania, with supposedly his manifesto on him, the gun on him, and just chilling out. It seems weird.
Todd, it's 2024. Nothing doesn't seem weird. I got to be careful. I trust the New York Post as far as I can throw the New York Post,
story.
And I can't throw
that's
it very far.
Story.
I understand. I honestly have not been following it this closely.
Oh,
to me,
I have.
Everybody's fascination on it is interesting in itself to me, but it's something that I've only been kind of consuming passively. I haven't been keeping a very, very close eye on it. So I don't have any hot takes or any, like, you know, knee-jerk reactions to it, Todd. But it's...
Here's what we're going to talk about hour two. I'm going to tease this.
All right.
According to thedailymail.com, and I've seen this other places too, Brian Thompson, the shooting suspect, Luigi Maggioni, suffered a back injury so severe he was unable to have sex, a former roommate said. R.J. Martin lived with the murder defendant for 6 months in a Hawaii co-living space, according to the New York Times. About the 26-year-old Mangione's secret agony. Quote, he knew that dating and being physically intimate with his back condition wasn't possible, unquote. I remember him telling me that, and my heart just breaks, unquote. Here, I mean, injured so bad at 26, and I'm sorry, the guy is hot, and he can't have sex anymore. That would that tick you off so much it would drive you to murder? This is extraordinarily intriguing to me.
And see, I know that there's a large group out there here in America that loves a American true crime story, and I have a feeling we'll hear about this case for years to come. But to me, that's not really my cup of tea.
All right.
I hate to be that guy to throw the wet blanket.
That's fine. We'll talk about our two. All right, let's talk about something Luke does care about. The Milwaukee Brewers. Pat Murphy, National League Manager of the Year, was on, I believe, the Major League Baseball Network yesterday, talking about, of course, the all-star shortstop, Willie Adames, who signed a big contract over the weekend to go to the San Francisco Giants. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a huge surprise to anybody, really. No. But here's what Murph said yesterday. You're going to take a part of this. Luke, to me, this is a guy you want to play for. Here's Pat Murphy, a Brewers manager, talking about Willie Adames yesterday.
As you talk about the business of baseball, yeah, I guess you had to see the writing on the wall that Willie Adames wasn't going to come back, but it still stings a bit to see a guy that played 161 games at shortstop for you with one of the best attitudes you've ever seen go to another National League team not named the Brewers.
Yeah, I'm so happy for him, though, really. I mean, it's about the players, you know, and to see him get that contract. And like I texted him, I said, Willie, remember what makes you great. It's who you are. It is. I mean, we can dissect everybody's game, right? The guy shows every day. He posts every day, and everybody trusts him. And when you trust a teammate like that, right?
Yeah,
no question. It's different, you know? So I'm really happy for him.
I'm sure you're not done, but how do you piece together a shortstop? Does Terang, he's more than capable the way he picks it at second to move over? Is it Ortiz moving over from third? Like, what are your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I think they both can do it, really. Yeah. Ortiz is special with a glove. I know he can do it. I got to know that he knows he can do it. But and we have Terang, who there's not a better defender out there, I don't think. I mean,
that was Pat Murphy yesterday on the Major League Baseball Network. Luke, your thoughts? I to me, that just is a genuine response.
Yeah, he's a damn good coach. Yeah, and I think just that
and person, it seems like.
Yeah, that mentality though, that this is like, yes, you are paid a boatload of money to go play a game professionally, and wins and losses are important, but it takes me back to the premise of the show Ted Lasso. Where it's like, this isn't about the wins and losses. It's about coaching these men up to be more than themselves. Because that's what a team sport is. You come together as a collective. In baseball, nine guys out on the field against another nine guys. And you want to put your best effort forward every single game to win. And that's a part of it. But it being about the players and that little bit from Murph there, I think that's huge.
And he goes on later in that interview. I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was 300 and some million is what Adames signed.
176, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, 176. But it was the biggest contract in San Francisco Giants history. And the Giants have had some
big
heck
names.
Of a name players. Yeah. Like Barry Bonds played for the San Francisco Giants. And Willie Adames has a contract now bigger than that. So
176 million. And you thought, wow, that's a big deal. And Juan Soto at New York said, hold my beer, because Juan Soto just went across town from the New York Yankees to the New York Mets for a 15-year deal worth $765 million. That is a $750 million plus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you make of that? Biggest contract for anybody ever.
Baseball money is insane money. Wisconsin, son of Wisconsin, J.J. Watt. I forget which baseball deal it was. I think it was why can't I think of his name? L.A. Dodgers. Went to L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Shohei.
The pitcher?
Yeah, Shohei. Yeah. When Shohei Ohtani signed his deal, it was like, I think, 10 years and $500 million, so half a billion dollars. Right. So similar shorter contract, but similar terms per annual salary, a little bit less than Juan Soto's. But when that contract got signed last offseason, J.J. Watt was like, boy, I picked the wrong sport.
Right?
and it's not like he was having a hard time making money as a professional athlete in the NFL, but baseball money is a different kind of money when it comes to the salaries for the MLB
JJ is
players.
Doing okay. Yeah. I think I saw, somebody could correct me, I think I saw last night on a report that breaks down to $13,000 plus for every at-bat, whether he makes contact with the ball or not.
Good work if you can get it.
Just go up to the plate, try to take a swing. Here's $13,000.
I don't know any of the details, but I'm sure there's a lot of guaranteed money in there too, which means even if he misses a season, he's going to be he's going to be making a lot of money.
Yeah, it's wow. And I think our own Dan Schaefer, our political editor, tweeted out last night and said, you know, this is why, or an example of, you have places regionally where baseball is doing well, but nationally, why baseball is having real difficulties.
Yeah. And there's a Wisconsin connection to it as well.
David Stearns, right, who used to be the GM at for the Brewers, what left to go run the Mets.
And he signed in this one
deal. Yes.
Signed more free agency money signing Juan Soto to this deal than he ever did in his, I forget how long Stearns' tenure was in Milwaukee, but more than, like, I think better part of a decade, decades.
Who?
Stearns. I don't know how long Stearns spent. Decade and a half?
I wouldn't say that long. No? I 10 years.
10, 15, so. 10, 12 years? Okay. Well, so Stearns was there for
a while.
A long time. Mm-hmm. And all the free agency money that he spent in Milwaukee was still less than this contract. Than the one deal.
Yeah. Listener in WAUK in Waukesha saying Murphy was wrong about it's all about the players. No, it's about us fans. Well, I would say yes and no. I mean, I think Murphy talking as a manager is saying, hey, it's all about the players. I'm not sure that he meant any slight towards the fans. I don't want to speak for him, but.
No, I would think that the Murph talking about it's about the players is in reference to the fact that when you see MLB's had major lockouts before, when it's not these players playing, the game suffers. And so it's about the players, not as much as about the front offices as the front offices might like to think.
Luke Mathers, dog stories, and what's grinding his gears. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Ah, seré chico.
¡Qué montaña, cabrón!
Lo vivo, lo vivo.
Mahora ven a ver.
Lo vivo, lo vivo, lo vivo, lo vivo, lo vivo.
¿Y qué fue lo que ya hizo?
Coming to you from the barrio of San Salvador. It is the Todd Hallball Show. We're going to take it there one of these days. We're going to take show to Central America. Zomers, what did you dial up?
That's Willie Adames' walk-up song.
There you go. See? Zomers is so darn smart. Appreciate you, Zomers. Thank you so very much. Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Off the WAUK text line, thanks for your thoughts. We love the show. The person asking about it being about fans. Well, we have... This show is nothing without the listeners, and we appreciate each and every one of them. But Luke, we need people like that. So thank you.
We appreciate you listening.
Yeah, all those great fans. All right, so talking, we got lots to get to here and a short time to get there. So let's go right to
That's a great summary for just tangents in general. We got a lot of tangents, and we got to get to them as quickly as we can.
Exactly. So first of all, the dog story.
Oh, yeah. So I had an exciting Monday morning to start off my day. You know how twilight is very early?
Unfortunately, I hate these days.
I know. There's only, 11 days until the days start getting longer?
21st of December, shortest day of the year.
11 days, and then all of a sudden after that, all the way through the summer solstice, the days are going to be getting longer. So, folks, we're about to turn the corner there.
Yes.
There's something to look forward to. Yes. Not just the holidays, but the days will start to get longer soon. But I let the dogs out yesterday morning when it was waking up.
You let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. They needed to go out for the first time in the morning. And normally they come right back.
Uh-oh.
Especially, not too cold recently, but like Remy specifically, like he knows the morning routine. He's got it down. He knows pretty quickly thereafter doing his business, his breakfast time, he's ready to come back. Aurora, she's kind of, she's the young one. Right. She turns one on the solstice.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. It's been a full year already.
Incredible.
So she's the solstice girl. But she'll go out there and wander. She likes the backyard. She's very curious. She smells everything. She chases the leaves, any critters that are out there. And yesterday morning we had a big critter.
Oh no.
Because it had both of their attention.
What was it?
Todd, I can tell you that after about 10, 15 minutes, I got pretty concerned that neither of them were back at the door.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I'm like, all right, normally at least Remy's back. Like, I get Aurora, you're out there for
and
a while.
And these are not big dogs. They're not little teeny dogs.
No, but they're medium-sized dogs. Medium they're not. They're both about just shy of 40 pounds, 35, 40 pounds. Yeah. And Aurora's almost passing Remy, which is very fun to watch over the last several months as she's been growing out of her puppyhood and into her adolescence phase, which is an interesting way. To refer, apparently that's what the dog puppy training class refers to it as. And I was like, oh, okay, sounds good.
All right.
But Todd, come back. What kind of critter? You know, they didn't come back. I had to go out and find them.
Skunk? Fox?
You're close in size, but not quite.
An opossum.
An opossum it was.
Oh, my
An opossum
gosh.
Playing dead.
Those are the most dangerous kind.
In the middle of the yard. Next to one of the trees. I go out there and I'm like, what is... And because... They, when I first walk out, they're like kind of doing a little lap, and I see them in the dusk. Like it is finally starting to get a little light out, so I can see them, but I can't see much else. This mound, Todd, sitting in the middle, like, has a good size possum.
And he was playing dead.
And he was playing dead.
As possums
and,
do.
And so Remy, he knew once I was out there, he was like, oh crap, dad's back. All right, I gotta head back in the house. The fun's over. Party's
Were they
over. She was, but like very like low and playfully. Right. Like I couldn't hear her from inside. Normally when they're barking, it's at another dog in the neighborhood and they want to be known. This was Aurora was just doing laps around this possum. And I was so terrified that at any moment, because that's the scary part about possums is if they're playing dead, you don't know when they're going to spring up and not play dead anymore. And so Aurora's getting dangerously close to this possum. And I'm like, how long have you been out here circling it? Like, was this possum like kind of caught in no man's land and you tried to make a break for it? And then all of a sudden he started playing dead. Was there a scuffle between the dogs
but it was
and the
twilight.
Possum? It was twilight.
So you don't know whether it has rabies or not. Because they're not supposed to come out during the day.
Right. If it was broad daylight, I would have a lot more concerns about rabies. But this was kind of like, it was right around 6 a.m. It was very dark still. Just the daylight was starting to break through. And I was terrified of trying. And Aurora wanted nothing with coming in the house. She was like, no, this is my new toy. I want to find out what this thing is doing in the yard. And so for a good 10, 15 minutes, I was chasing Aurora around the yard, trying not to get too close to the possum to make it spring up and like attack me or her. And then like try to, so eventually Kelsey, who was like getting ready for day, my wife, like heard me freaking out. And like the whole neighborhood must have been awoken at this point if they weren't already getting ready for their day, because I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And I got Remy back inside successfully. So I eliminated half the problem, but Aurora just would not, like Kelsey had to be shaking the food canister and a squeak toy. So she had food in one hand and the squeak toy in the other hand. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house. So I was then keeping an eye from the kitchen to see if this possum moved. And I stepped away for a little bit, came back, and was gone. So I have no idea where this possum is.
What would have been really funny if it was actually dead.
Honestly, I was like, I don't want to dispose of this possum. I really hope that it just gets up and moves on and then hopes that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again. That's what I want. I don't want this possum to come back. I don't want you to die, possum, but I don't want you to come back and deal with... I don't want the ramifications of my dogs trying to interact with this possum or me having to clean it up if it does come back and they accidentally kill it. Because they're bigger than it. Like, they easily, like, if
bigger
I
bigger than a dog?
No, that's what I'm saying. The dogs were bigger than the possum. Right. So, like, the dogs, if they wanted to, like, they're not... They're big, giant, fluff babies. They're not, like, killers. Remy will show his teeth every now and then when he wants to try to seem tough, especially since he's been a big brother. But they're not going to harm the creatures. They're more curious and they want to know what's happening with it. And now I have to worry every time I let them out in this early mornings whether or not the possum's in the backyard.
Luke Mathers letting the dogs out can be traumatic. Next time I tell you
apparently.
How. Next time I tell you how I once killed three raccoons at one shot on the farm. I did. True story. All right, thank you, Lukester. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Todd.
Luke Mathers, stay tuned. A little text to win trivia contest next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.